Good morning. Welcome into Coach to Coach. This, of course, is Coach to Coach Nashville style. And while I mention that, I will remind everyone that next Saturday, we will move to 11 o'clock and it'll become the statewide show. Coach Dave McGinnis and myself, Larry Stone, will join us and host that as he has for, I believe this will be the fifth or sixth year. So last show at 7 o'clock. Again, we'll move everything to 11 o'clock next Saturday. A lot to talk about today. Dave McGinnis, I kind of wanted to start with this. The Titans training camp ongoing now. The college preseason camps, most of them will start this week at some point, if not early next week. It all depends on, of course, when they start the season. Coach McGinnis and I were talking about this over the last few weeks, how much training camp has changed. And Dave, let's kind of get into that, both the college and the pros. No two-a-days, and a lot of things changed in that area. Let's kind of start with the NFL and what changes have happened. Well, they happened again this year, but happened almost every year now in the amount of time you can go, what you can do, what the wear is that you'll be wearing. Will it be pads? Will it be shells? What it will be? Let's kind of touch on that, and because I think that's an interesting evolution, I think you could say, certainly from a player's perspective of what we've seen in the last decade or so.
Well, yeah, Coach, this is my 35th NFL training camp. So I've been involved in training camps for 35 years in the National Football League, and I've seen the entire evolution of it. When I was first hired by Mike Ditka, you know, back in 1986, we went to Platteville, Wisconsin for our training camp, and it was twice a day in pads every day. And we were up there for 6 weeks. I mean, there was never one time that we practiced during training camp without pads on. The only time we ever had just shorts and jerseys was on Saturday mornings before ball games on Sunday. So during the training camp period, and of course that was back during the time when you had really no organized off-season workouts, and you know, players would come to training camp to get into shape. But it was twice a day, every day for 6 weeks. And going back even further than that, you and I visited about this. When I was playing collegiate football at TCU, we had three-a-days. You know, we went three times a day, and we never practiced without at least shoulder pads. That special teams practice in the middle of the two practices in the morning and the afternoon was still with shoulder pads. So it's changed immensely. It's not this year in the National Football League, just as an example. I mean, they had 2 days. They've already gone through those 2 days. Wednesday and Thursday, they only could have helmets on. Then you can only have shells on for two more days. The first day they can even put pads on will be Monday of next week. And so there's a big, big difference, Coach. There's a huge difference. And plus it's only one a day. There are no more two-a-days on the field practices.
Of course, there's several reasons for that. Certainly the medical end of it. I mean, we've discovered better ways of doing things. Another thing was just what Coach McGinnis just mentioned there. Back when Coach was talking about the Bears 35, 40 years ago or so, the NFL, the players actually had jobs. They had other jobs other than playing football. And in college, of course, you weren't around in summer school. You went home to get work. Well, all that's changed now because of the workouts, certainly in the NFL, but also in college football. Most of the players on almost every campus, certainly they're there for the first or the second semester of summer school, if not the first. They come in better shape. And I think, Dave, the other part of it is just the medical advancements and, I guess, understanding more what, you know, heat and all those different types of things will do. Those have been the two main drivers of this.
Oh, absolutely, Coach. And again, let's just you and I be honest, both when we were playing and sometimes when we were coaching, you know, with those players, as much as you were putting them through, I mean, you were just trying to survive basically training camp, you know. And now, I mean, it's so much better now. It's so much better for the players, and it's smarter. It's much smarter. You only have one body and you only have so many players. When we used to go to camp with the Bears, we'd have 120 players. You know, they have 90 now. So there's a big difference, and I have totally agreed with everything that has been the medical advancements, and so it's a different world, but in my humble opinion, it's a better world.
Yeah, and we touched on last week of the GPS systems that they have now that they put in players in the back of the players' t-shirt, workout shirt, that let them they can track how much energy they're producing, how much weight loss they're having, how much nutrients they need added back in. So all that's a big plus. It's a better game now. I don't think there's any question about that. All right. With that, let's kind of get into, as you mentioned, Titans training camp has started. You've been to each and every one of them. What, three practices? And you'll be going out there today. Well, Dave, they're practicing, what, 9:30 to 11, I guess, one reason to do that. Probably a lot of reasons, but a little bit cooler. It's been awfully hot here, as it has, I think, most places throughout the South.
Well, this whole heat dome thing is real. And, you know, you can get your we all watch the weather. And, of course, I've felt it out there just watching practice. I mean, you get those heat indexes, you know, by 11:30 that are over 100. And so clearly, I mean, yes, they practice from 9:30 until 11:30 every day. And of course, Mike Vrabel is very good about being able to adjust it. You talked about the GPS tracker system. I mean, that they look at that every day as soon as they get in. That feed goes immediately to their computers, and they go in. Todd Torricelli, Frank Perino, their strength and conditioning coach, and then the head coach and the general manager, they go in and look at that every day. They track each individual as to where they are. And he will cut back. He will adjust practice, and he will adjust also individual players' practices. He didn't practice, you know, many of his frontline players yesterday. You know, they did not practice yesterday. All of that is calculated now, Coach.
Well, I don't think there's any question. It just makes common sense, and it also makes practical sense. The fact that that Mike Vrabel was a double digit year veteran. He's gone through all of this, obviously in college. Also, he's also been a coach for many years now. Probably understands that, I would think, better than most coaches who maybe had not played in the NFL. So all those factors kind of work into it. Talk a little bit about Vrabel handling practice. I was reading some reports and also talked to you also. He gave, after 2 days, gave a lot of the, I guess, veteran players off, right?
Well, those frontline players, well, they were there, but they weren't on the field practicing. They were inside doing something. But he's very good at it. And I've told you this before. You and I have talked both privately and on air on Coach to Coach. We've talked about he's very good at load management. He understands. He understands clearly. And each player is different, Coach. And you know this very well. And especially in the National Football League, when you've got veterans that have been there 5, 6, 7, 8 year vets, they're different than rookies. They really are. And you've got to be able to calculate the times when they need to be out there going hard. First of all, they all showed up in tremendous shape. They all showed up. Everybody passed the conditioning test. I mean, they were all in tremendous shape, which most National Football League clubs are now. And so the load management and the ability to be able to adjust and to see daily with all the empirical data they have as to where their players are. And yes, he gave a lot of his frontline players, a lot of names that people would recognize, they were not on the field practicing yesterday. They were indoors doing some other active things, but not on the field practicing. And so he will continue to do that throughout the season, Coach. He does that throughout the season. I've watched him every practice that he's been here. He understands it and he gets it.
I don't think there's any question that a big driver of this also has been the NFL Players Association, which back when Dave was talking about with the Bears, I don't think there was one. If it was, it was very loosely. But they've also been a big driver in this, and quite frankly, an important driver in it on the what procedures can happen. Kind of talk about a little about those, what we're seeing now, the pads versus no pads, how many days you can go on that, how many days you have to have. Because those are all bargained in the CBA.
Absolutely, they were set out. As I said, they've got a 6 day acclimation period as to where, you know, you can't have any pads on. They will allow shells, you know, after a period of time without any pads on at all. But at the same time, once you do put the pads on, you are limited to the number of times that you can be in pads. Now, training camp, it's pretty much up to the coach's discretion. But once you get into the season, Coach, we're going to have a 17-week game season, an 18-week season in total. You can only put the pads on your players 14 times. So that's 14 times throughout the whole season. And you're correct. It's all collectively bargained. And, again – in the National Football League, it's a game of attrition. It really is. And so all the really in tune coaches, and most of them are now. But you have some discrepancies, and you have seen coaches in the past that have come in and have tried to, you know, do it another way and try to be really tough with their players, and thinking that just making them slam into each other before they start slamming into opponent will make them tougher. Well, those coaches haven't lasted very long in this National Football League. It's a different world. It really is. And as I say again, for Titans fans, your head coach, Mike Vrabel, he understands and he gets it. And there's a lot of other coaches around the league that get it too. Because the main thing, coach, is get them to that game healthy. You know that, and I know that.
What's the old line? You got to get the horses to the starting gate before you can run a race. So
you got to get them to the starting gate.
That's so true. Dave, again, 3 days, but let's just, the veterans are the veterans. We know what we've got there as Titans fans, or at least we think we know what we've got. Talk a little bit about maybe some of the other players, or maybe some of the veterans that you've seen, some of the younger players coming back that you've kind of noticed just standing there watching.
Yeah, well, the first thing that I look at when I look at it and see is how the younger players, I'm not talking about rookies because they still don't know yet, but I'm really talking about those second and third year players, how much they did in the offseason and how much they've transformed their bodies. One of the biggest misnomers about coming in the National Football League is most players that come into the National Football League think I have to be bigger. I have to be bigger. There's a big difference between being bigger and being stronger. What you've got to be in the National Football League, you've got to have strength, but you've got to be leaned up, and you've got to be flexible, and you've got to have some endurance. And so a lot of times when you'll watch the biggest transformation from a first to a second to a third year player, they start to understand now in the offseason what type of shape they have to be in body wise for their own particular, you know, body to be able to play in the National Football League and be able to withstand the rigors of it. And so when you start to look at it, I mean, there's a player, you know, that, you know, came in here from Florida International, was a free agent last year, played a lot of shade technique, you know, a lot of nose, you know, form early on, kid named Tierre Tart. Now, you could see that Tierre Tart was a big kid, but he was just a big load in the middle, Doug. Well, as soon as the season was over, he came to Frank Perino, the strength coach, and he came to Mike Vrabel and said, look, I've never had an offseason program. I'm willing to do whatever. Just show me what it is. And so those are the type of players that you love. And so he looked completely different. Now this guy is leaned up. He's improved his body fat by 4-5%, which is a huge deal for a big man like that. But you can tell his body just looks completely different. Another player is a third-year player that's going to be the starting safety next to Kevin Byard is Amani Hooker. Amani Hooker came in as a big rocked up guy from Iowa. And now he's leaned up back there. Now he looks much leaner. He can cover more ground. But you can tell that in talking with veterans and understanding now this is going into his third season, you have to look different. I mean, you have to do something. You have to work on your body, getting your body NFL ready. Those are the kind of guys I look at. Darrington Evans, same thing, running back from App State. I mean, you can tell that he did work this offseason. The other guy that looks completely different physically with offseason work, Christian Fulton, you know, the cornerback from LSU, looks completely different just physically standing out there. And you can tell his movement's different. Those are the types of things after being in the league as long as I have that I look at to see what their transformations have been physically, because that's going to give them a chance to have a better season when it starts.
Yeah, a couple of those players that came in last year, the Titans knew were going to, certainly cornerback being one of those, because of injuries and other things, probably were not going to play a whole lot last year. Dave, the one thing, though, and Dave and I talk about really off-field things about as much as we do on the field, it's a – no matter where you play this sport, high school, college, professional – it's a veterans league, really, because of the things you have to learn no matter how talented you are. Now, yes, there are some positions that you can come in and be highly successful at, but just because of just pure skill. But it's a league you have to learn how to, you have to, number one, learn how to prepare, even though you think you know how to prepare. You have to learn how from a strength. And as you mentioned, it's a grueling, this year going to be a grueling 18-week season. You're certainly not, no player that plays in it at all is going to go through that without having some difficulty from some type of maybe injury, even though it may be small. So all those things you have to learn. And I think the big thing is, let's close the segment with this. You kind of discussed a little bit. You really have to learn to be a veteran. You have to learn to be an experienced player, because I think most players come in, certainly higher round draft choices. They think, I know I would. They think they're probably, hey, I'm a heck of a player. I'm going to fit in here real quick. Doesn't work out that way very often, does it?
No, sir, it does not. And the ones that learn that the quickest are the ones that have the most success. And I've had all different types in all the years that I've been around. But the ones that step in and want to learn immediately from the veterans, and also take in every bit of coaching they get and want to learn it, because it's different. It's completely different. I mean, you know this, all the years you coached in the NCAA, a freshman's a lot different than a third-year player, even in the collegiate game, as much as they grow physically. Well, they're still growing physically and mentally when they get to the National Football League. So, yes, you're 100% right, Coach. Being a veteran, and you can be a veteran at a younger age if you apply yourself.
I had one coach I coached with that every freshman came in, he put him in a green jersey, and the reason was, which I never ever tried it. I thought I might if I'd ever been head coach. He told him, hey, you're green and you're growing.
That's pretty good visual.
And it's the coach's job to water you and make sure you get there. So, all right, we'll take a break, come back and get more into little college. A lot of things going on in the division. From a quarterback perspective, we'll talk with Coach McGinnis about that when we come back. Dave, we'll go to break. Let's talk a little bit about Wilson Bank and Trust.
Well, Wilson Bank and Trust, we talk about, being veterans and knowing what you're doing. They certainly are. Wilson Bank and Trust, community bank, they understand. They're like veteran players. They understand what it takes in all aspects of your community banking needs. They understand what their people need, just like a good coach understands what his players need. So Wilson Bank and Trust, all their many locations throughout the state of Tennessee, they are a prime and a fantastic community bank.
Middle Tennessee's Community Bank, 28 locations, 9 Middle Tennessee counties. Quick break. We're right back on Coast to Coast, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans, who reminds you to plan on us. Welcome back in Coast to Coast, our last, well, just the regular, irregular season, I guess would be, but preseason maybe would be the way to put it. Next week, we will start the statewide show. It'll move to 11 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock, letting Dave McGinnis sleep in a little bit. You know, he likes to sleep in most of the day. Actually, it's because we actually record that show, because it goes into 25-plus radio stations throughout the state of Tennessee. Of course, still brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans, who remind you that, hey, plan on us, as this show is. Coach McGinnis and I were talking a little bit before we came back on break. And Dave and I were talking about it. It's going to lead into the segment that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the division, what the other three teams in the division are. But Dave, sometimes, and I think probably at Houston at least, you got a head coach down there, and maybe probably some assistants who are saying, you know, they're not paying me enough money to go through this. We walked off the field after a bunch of losses and other things, and you know, if I'm going to keep doing this, I got to get more money. I would say that with what's going on at Houston, and kind of give us a little update on from an NFL, from that part of it, look at on this, because certainly the quarterback situation down there is tenuous at best.
Yeah, and you know, I've talked about this on previous shows, and to keep our listeners a bridge of what's going on. You know, all during this offseason, we thought that the National Football League might put him on the commissioner's exempt list, which means that he would be paid, but he would be away from the team, or that there would be some charges brought, and then there would be some criminal charges brought. There hasn't been any of that happen. And so, you know, I'm talking about, what Deshaun Watson and his representatives did. Well, they're not going to pay 50. You know, first of all, David Culley canceled the mandatory minicamp. So there was no fine for Deshaun Watson for missing that, because they didn't have one. Okay. Well, so then to avoid a $50,000 a day fine, which is what it is if you're under contract and you don't show up for training camp, Deshaun Watson showed up. You know, he showed up, and so now he's there and still doesn't want to be there, but he showed up in camp. And so now David Culley, now what you've got is you've got your franchise quarterback. You've got him there in the building. Now, what do you do with him? What do you do with him at practice? What do you do with him during the week? How do you do work him out? You know, how does he work into what's going on? And so he's just there right now. He is there. They're practicing him, but they're still knowing that he's, you know, they want to trade him. He wants to be traded. So it's still way up in the air. It's a big mess.
Dave, let's just kind of tell you, give us your experienced opinion on this, because this is what's kind of interesting to me. I don't follow the NFL really closely, quite frankly, like watching the games and, of course, keeping up with the Titans and maybe a few players that I'm watching. But as I've watched over the years, and the commissioner list you're talking about, you know, anytime you have any type of any type of allegations of what we've seen Deshaun Watson had, it's almost automatically that they go on that commissioner's list. So what does it tell you? And again, just from experience, certainly not knowing any of the facts, what does it tell you that with all that we've heard going on earlier, that the commissioner has decided not to put him on the list?
Well, it tells me that they don't have enough evidence yet. You know, you can't just say, you know, Doug Matthews or Dave McGinnis are not acting right. We're going to put them on the list. You got to have some evidence, you know, and clearly, I mean, there's been, 22, 23 allegations against him. But there has, you know, they still haven't done anything adjudicated wise in the legal system, nor in the National Football League has investigated it, you know. And so until they have something concrete, you know, they're not going to do that, you know, because the player, you know, still, you know, he's under contract. And so he has to be afforded the availability to play unless there is something that he has violated. And then you put him on the list.
Houston has now said they will trade him, correct?
Oh, absolutely. They've said they will trade him. They've said they will trade him. But now, you know, it started out that they wanted three number ones for him. And then they wanted a veteran player, you know, that can come in. So it's a long way from being resolved. It's a long way from resolution. But as I say, I mean, when you and I talked about this, we talked about this and we talked about the Aaron Rodgers situation, you know, throughout the few months. And you'd always ask me, what do you think will happen? And I say, well, they're both going to be back at where they originally are just because of the money they're both making. And all the salary caps across the league are truncated this year. Nobody's got that kind of money. You know, nobody's got that kind of money. You have to clear a lot of things to be able to bring now. Of course, we've seen what Aaron Rodgers did. They came in, redid his deal, and you know, they went down and got Randall Cobb from the Texans because he wanted him there. But this was not a good year to be trying to force a club's hand, especially if you're carrying a big price tag.
Well, that's the situation in Houston. I don't know if any quarterback until we start the season is going to be more scrutinized than Carson Wentz is because of, a lot of different reasons. He is up at Indy. I know that. This probably don't know a whole lot about this day, but foot injury, he's out now. That's been one of the knocks on him.
And, yes.
And you can't, you know, no one wants to get injured for certainly on that, but that's kind of plagued his early career so far. Anything you're hearing from the old coaches hotline, at least former coaches hotline behind the scenes on that?
Well, you know, what I'm hearing, I mean, it is a foot injury, and he's going to be out a while. I'm not sure that it's a Liz Frank injury. That's what everybody was saying at first, but I don't think that's from what I hear. I don't think that's what it is. But it's something that's going to be, you know, he's going to go see a foot specialist, and he's going to be out. He's going to be out for the preseason for sure. But this puts his development behind, and that's the whole reason he came there to Frank Reich. And you're right, Doug. That's been the biggest knock on him since he's gotten into the league is he cannot stay healthy. You know, he cannot stay healthy, and he's starting, you know, to get that reputation. And so once this happened, I mean, they put a whole lot into the fact that they brought him in there. You know, they let Phillip Rivers go. They gave him a one-year shot at it. And plus, you know, Phillip Rivers, we all know what, you know, the veteran that he is. And this was to be Carson Wentz's reclamation time and chance to come back and regain the form that he had when he first came into the league. As I've told you many times before and our listeners, I was on the Rams staff. We vetted both Jared Goff and Carson Wentz coming out because we were going to trade up and get the number one pick in the draft that year, the first year that we were in Los Angeles. And this guy's a tremendous athlete, but he's got an injury history, and it's reared its ugly head again.
his physical play, the way he plays, certainly has a big part of that. I mean, he throws that body around, at least has, and maybe doesn't quite as much now, but he was a physical runner, physical player, and of course that's how he first got hurt up there. Dave, just one of the things I think you'll agree with me on this, everybody wants to see players and people do well. But quite frankly, when you're in a division going against them, the misery of the other teams, it can work to your advantage on that. And it looks to me like now if you throw, let's talk a little bit about Jacksonville, a work in progress is the way that I would put it right now. But all three teams in the division having some problems right now.
Well, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is going to be their quarterback there, but you're talking about a rookie quarterback, a very talented rookie quarterback, but you're talking about a very talented rookie quarterback, you know, coming in to a 1-15 team. And so it's going to have some growing pains for him, but they've got it settled as far as to who their quarterback is. And Gardner Minshew has been their guy. You know, his picture was up in the airport and all that stuff. Well, you're not that guy anymore. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence, but now you're talking about a first-year NFL coach with a rookie quarterback, and both very accomplished persons, both in their roles, but they're new to the league. So, but we know who their quarterback is going to be there, and then you know, and what you're looking at, you know, when you look at those types, and then we have already talked about in total the situation at Houston. I mean, they've got a franchise quarterback that who knows? I mean, that's so far up in the air. We've just talked about Carson Wentz. And so, you know, the Tennessee Titans are in great shape at the quarterback position right now. You know who your starter is, and you've got some help for him on offense.
Dave, I don't know, and you may – well, I guess you probably would know this. Titans in the past, and I don't know if this is allowable now under the new Players Association deal and CBA. Are the Titans going to have anybody in coming in to work against another team like we've seen in the past, or are they going anywhere to work out with any other team?
The second preseason game, the Titans, we're going down to Tampa Bay on a Wednesday to work against the Buccaneers for 2 days before we play that second preseason game in Tampa. So absolutely, yes.
Tell us what goes on in those meetings. I've always thought this would be something that would be great for college football, particularly in the spring, to have a team come in, you know, and practice against them because, you know, all of us get tired of going against the same person day after day after day and gives you a little bit more energy at times on that. But that's something I would assume you get a lot out of when you go against other teams. And
well, I mean, the way it works, I've done it a lot when I was coaching the National Football League, have done that, you know, probably 7-8 times, you know, in training camps when I was coaching in the National Football League, and it works, but it works best when both staffs and the head coaches are the main parts of this, when they get together and agree as to what tempo and how you're going to work against one another. I've also been on staffs as to where, you know, the one coach, you know, back in the old days, I mean, you wanted to prove who was toughest. And so all of a sudden it ended up being like Braveheart, everybody running out in the middle of the field and going at each other. And that's not good. And so anyway, yes, it's tremendous. And working against the world champions, you know, we worked against the Patriots, you know, when Tom Brady was there at the Patriots, they came in here. You can get really good work. You get great individual work. That going against, you know, receivers on DBs, D linemen against offensive linemen, special teams versus special teams. You really get good work, good against good. You can get more quality reps in, and plus it's a little bit, as you say, it takes you out of the some of the routine of a training camp, just working against the same person day in and day out. Gives you a chance to test your skills against somebody else, gives you a chance to work on your techniques and sharpen those. It's a really good thing, as long as both head coaches and both organizations understand what you're both trying to get out of it. And Mike Vrabel and Bruce Arians, this will be great work. It really will be, but you're right. It's really good. It's good work, and it's quality time for those young players that are trying to measure themselves about what the National Football League will be.
When we come back, we're going to talk, switch over to the college game. Camps will start this week. Kind of some of the off-the-field news. we're not going to get into a whole lot of that, but, man, has it been a interesting, to say the least, off-the-field season in collegiate football, certainly with what's going on with Oklahoma and Texas. We're going to talk to an old Texan about it. this old Okie will, and we'll kind of get some thoughts on that too when we come back. I'll talk to you as we go to break about Stroud's Barbecue. Wings, it's Saturday. You can get wings now at Stroud's Barbecue, made fresh right for you. All you got to do is give them a call, tell them how many you want. I think you have to buy, well, I don't know how many you have to buy. Used to be 24, but don't hold me to that. Bottom line is this, you want some great wings, you can get them from a place that's just a pooch punt away from you, Stroud's Barbecue. Well, that Tennessee Volunteer promo leads right into what we're going to be discussing in this segment. College football with Coach Dave McGinnis, Doug Matthews here with you. This is Coach to Coach, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. We remind you to plan on us. Real quickly, it's hot out there, newsflash, as you all probably know. And at this time of year, what normally happens? Well, if you have had any problems with that air conditioner, you want to get them fixed quick. Ream Pro Partner is the place to go. Wherever you're listening to the show, there is a Ream Pro Partner near you. Google it, look them up, get them over. That's what I've done in the past. I'm a big Ream believer. Ed Supply does all the supplying of the Ream Pro Partners there. So it's hot, get unhot if you are hot. Ream Pro Partner, there's one near you. Dave, a camp started this week, or will start this week, excuse me, have not. It's kind of interesting. This just kind of tells you how it works, folks, the difference between professional and college. Although with NIL, maybe it's going to be big professional versus little professional. I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek. By the way, I was with a group. I'll discuss this more on future shows, but Dave, you'll get a kick out of this. I was with seven other guys playing some golf up in East Tennessee this week, and about half of them were former players. Now former players of our era, nobody real big fans of name, image, likeness, but the fact of the matter, it's here and you got to deal with it. But I was going to say, just think about this. The fall camps have been going probably somewhere between 7 and 10 days before college camps even start. But college just start about 2 weeks before the pros do. So in playing their game. So that's one of the differences in the two.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, let's kind of get going on that. We've the neat thing about camps for players and coaches is that whatever you've been talking about, whatever's been going on off the field, now it's on the field. And Dave, some of the things we're going to be talking about today, the name, image, likeness, the transfer, and now expansion. All that has filled up all the time talking, but most of that, even though it'll still be there in the background, most of that, all that will go away once these fall camps start. Then we really get to talking. And I'm talking about just fans on the street having a cup of coffee, whatever. We get to talking about the season, the upcoming season.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, there's been such a major seismic shift in collegiate football this offseason. I mean, it's been gigantic. And so you can't help but talk about that because we're talking about, you know, we're talking about expanding conferences. We're talking about breaking up conferences. We're talking about name, image, likeness, which was massive, you know, when it came in. So that's going to be the topic. But at the end of the day, Coach, you're going to have to win football games. And to win football games, you got to prepare to win games.
Tony, of course, and Charles Davis are going to be on at 9 o'clock. We'll have the Forklift Systems Football Saturday. By the way, High School Sports Saturday comes up immediately following this show. High schools are also gearing up here in Middle Tennessee and around the state and around the country. But one of the things that Tony and Charles and I will be getting into, just think about this, Dave. Now, we've seen a lot of college football seasons come and go. I think at any one year, if you would have had any one of these things happen in the offseason, it would have been a big deal. But just think what's happened since the end of last season. First off, name, image, likeness has become a reality. The transfer portal has become a reality. Before, you had to get a waiver. Now you can do it. We're talking about expansion. We're talking about two of the really blue blood programs of college football going back as far as you want to go, Texas and Oklahoma, leaving that part of the country from a playing standpoint and coming into the Southeastern Conference. All of those things, any one of those things in one year, And then when you add the fact that Tony and I'll be really getting into this, that the NCAA now has well, they've just proposed a special constitution convention. It's going to have to take place in November, where they're really going to reimagine, I guess would be the word, what and propose dramatic action on the NCAA. All those have happened in a 3-month period. I mean, we haven't seen anything close to this. As I said, just one of those would have been a big story. But we've had all three of those stories to talk about.
Well, absolutely, Coach, and that's why I said it's a seismic shift. I mean, it's an earthquake. It's a major eruption. I mean, you just think about it. It's a tsunami of events that are major events that's going to affect the landscape of collegiate football, you know, from here going forward. And you and I both know that. We coached for a long time in the collegiate game. It has stayed pretty much the same. You had a few little rules that would change, as you said. Now, this is a major, major upheaval.
Let's kind of get into the Oklahoma-Texas situation. I'm not going to be talking a lot about this because it's a story, but it's a story that's probably going to start or be continued at least after this season going on. But Dave, the thing that just really struck me on this is how rapid all this happened publicly. If you just go back to this past Monday, less than a week, it kind of all, you know, came out last week, but it really all started this week. And since Monday until where we are today, actually it was through by Thursday, in a 4-day period of time, here's what happened. The Texas Board of Regents and the Oklahoma Board of Regents has met. And they told the Big 12 that they will not be part of the rights negotiations for the future, the media rights. So what that means is they're not going to be part of the league. They also vote to apply to the Southeastern Conference, which they did, both the Board of Regents. Then immediately after that, the presidents of the Southeastern Conference met. And they voted 14-0. Now, you can believe there were a couple of them at least that were holding their nose and being kicked in the rear end to vote that way, voted 14-0 to accept. Then you go back to the Board of Regents at both Texas and Oklahoma, and they accept the acceptance of their request. All that in a 4-day period. If you happen to be out of the country for a while, for a week, you come back and say, what in the world has happened on that? Happened in a 4-day period of time.
You and I both grew up in the country, and I know a lot of our listeners here have and still are. So this pump was primed before it ever got to this point. And if you know anything about priming a pump, you got to do a lot of work ahead of time to get some water out of the ground. And so we both know that this pump was primed. Yeah, they said as long as 6 months ago, but you're right. Once it finally hit, it was 4 days and it's done.
Let me tell you how quiet they kept this. I had heard absolutely nothing about it. Well, that's one thing. But when Tony Barnhart and Charles Davis, who were right in the middle of the national part of this, knew nothing about it. Now, later on, they said, well, I guess we should have kind of figured some of this out. But this is a big, big deal. One of the things that I'll be talking about with Tony on is this. Now, there's a lot of speculation. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? When is it going to happen? But one of the things that I think a lot of people are talking coming out of this, there's been talk about the four 20-team super conferences or 16 teams. Well, I'm going to kind of refute that with Tony today because I just don't see that happening. And the reason I don't see that happening is because I don't think if you have four conference, quote, super conferences of 20 teams, that's 80 football programs. And Dave, quite frankly, there are not anywhere near that middle many programs that I would put in anywhere near a super conference level. We're going to see on that. But anyway, those are some things that we'll be talking about on that. But anyway, how rapid that happened. And as we've talked many times, Dave and I grew up in that part of the country. It is football in Texas and football in Oklahoma is the main topic 365 days out of the year. Yeah, we can talk a little bit about the baseball and the basketball and all that. And Dave, the reason for that is for so many years, there were no pro sports in either Texas or Oklahoma. I mean, that was what everybody kind of lived for. High school football, Dave's mentioned, and I've seen many of the stadiums down there and how many people they attract on that. And for those two programs now to essentially saying, hey, we just can't, we're not winning. I'm not talking about on the field. This isn't economically feasible for us to stay here. We're going into the Southeastern Conference. That's a big deal throughout the country, but that is a huge deal in Texas and Oklahoma.
No, it's major, and you're right. I mean, that part of the country that we grew up in, I mean, there was two major sports. There was football, and there was spring football. I mean, and that's what it was. You know it, and I know it, and that has never changed. You know, that's never changed, and this is a massive, massive move. It's a massive move, and it's going to be, to me, the Southeastern Conference last fall playing conference games was one of the most interesting college seasons to follow for us. I know for me, just watching, I mean, that was that, and this is going to be even more interesting.
Well, there are those out there that have told me this, that they believe that exactly what you just said, Dave, the way the Southeastern Conference led the whole collegiate football nation and saying, we are going to play and forcing that through and really forcing other conferences to do the same thing. It'd be an overstatement to say it saved college football, but it certainly was what got things. And quite frankly, Commissioner Sankey, his stature is now so far up above everybody else in collegiate football. It's not even funny on that. Let's take our last break, and then we'll close out with a few thoughts on this final show of Coach to Coach Nashville. Again, next Saturday, we'll move to 11 o'clock right here on 104.5 The Zone, be on 25-plus radio stations throughout the state of Tennessee. Larry Stone will join us, and we'll be on our regular statewide Coach to Coach show. Let me talk to you just real quick about Double Dogs Restaurant. You know, Double Dogs, two locations that we've talked about. Coach McGinnis and I go often to the one right here in Hillsborough Village. There's another one off Charlotte Pike. And as I've talked about in the past, there's a new one they've added in Middle Tennessee up in Gallatin. I was there this past week, and boy, do they have that running smoothly up there. Folks all over the place. Right outside when you Fairview Plantation, right when you come out the gate there, little four or five store place there that Wilson Banks on one end. And Double Dogs is on the other. Great food. Of course, everything we've been talking about that Double Dogs does so very, very well. DoubleDogs.biz. Check out one in your area. Quick break, and we're right back.
We're back on Coach to Coach Middle Tennessee Style. Farm Bureau Health Plans our sponsor, and they remind you to plan on us. As I mentioned, last show, well, not really the last show, last local show, but we'll be back next week at 11 o'clock. I want to make sure everybody understands that, moving to that time, immediately following my Forklift Systems football show, and a lot to talk about, certainly in those areas. Dave, let's hit real quickly. I want to kind of touch with you on this before we get into the season. You know, the closer I look at the Southeastern Conference this year, you know, forget about what's going to be going on and who's going to be joining it and how that's going to be worked out. But kind of listening and watching and talking to coaches around, I think if you look at it right now, you got Alabama and Georgia, at least in my mind, Alabama and Georgia right now. And I'm just talking about it from a player perspective and also from a stability in the head football coach. Kirby Smart, Nick Saban there. They have more this particular year. I believe they have more athletes, certainly an experienced athletes, football players, than any other program. I've got them up there right now as the one and two teams up there. And I think they're ahead of everybody else now. A&M, close, very close, certainly from a talent standpoint. What's the quarterback situation going to be? I guess would be the question there. But to me, it's Georgia, Alabama, A&M right there. And then LSU and Florida, I think, have a chance to be there. Everybody else is really trying to make up some ground. We all know anything can happen in this sport, but to me right now, you're down to I think three really strong teams, two a little stronger than everybody else. And then when you throw LSU and Florida in there, I think that's what we're going to be looking at when we see who's going to be playing in Atlanta at the end of the year.
I think there's definitely different tiers. You know, you always talk about putting things into tiers. We've got to talk about the draft, talk about tiering players. I think you're 100% right. You know, Alabama and Georgia, because they've got more players. And I think a big instance in this, and I know we'll get into this in our statewide show, is that just look at the transfer portal. Look at the transfer portal and how many players Alabama and Georgia did not lose or did not bring in. Because guess what? They've already got a lot of really, really good players that want to be there. So I think you've got that tiered exactly right. And everybody else below those five at whatever level, they're scrambling to just try to get to even.
Well, that's a good point, good measuring stick right there. That not the only one, but as Alabama brought in two grad transfers, one of them was Henry To'o, who is one of their top recruits they were trying to sign a couple of years ago. I don't know who the other one was on that. Where other programs, Tennessee's brought in 10 transfers, transfer portal guys, and also three junior college players. And it's you know, a lot of the teams have newer coaches. We have out of this 14-team league, we've got 8 coaches who are either in their first or second year. So anyway, now Alabama's got some things that Coach Saban's got to address. Again, they lost a lot of coaches, but that seemingly happens every year. Again, they lost an offensive coordinator who was very dynamic on the field, but again, that happens almost every year or every other year. Again, they have to find a quarterback. It appears that they know who that is. Well, I'm sure they know who it is. They haven't announced that yet. George is sitting over there, though. They got an experienced quarterback in JT Daniels. They got an experienced defense. Yeah, they have to replace some players, certainly. But again, you look at both of those programs, they've been in the top five recruiting the last 4 or 5 years, for sure the top five, not top two or three. So they got athletes on the team. So all in all, that's kind of what that kind of looks like. And again, Tony Charles and I will be talking about that in about an hour and 5 minutes. Dave, let's kind of close out the show a little bit and kind of hit some of the highlights of what we're looking for going forward. Let's talk about from a professional standpoint, NFL standpoint on this. You brought up the Aaron Rodgers situation. We've got about 2 minutes here. Kind of interestingly, he did not miss any of camp. He came back in. Of course, a big deal when he did that. You said all along you did not believe that they would trade him. We hear a lot about everybody, a lot of the analysts talking about who was a big winner, who's a big loser on this. I'd have to say that the big winner is certainly the Green Bay fans, because it looks like he's at least going to be back this year. Got about a minute and a half. Take it.
Green Bay Packers were a big winner. You got the MVP of the league, that's your franchise quarterback, that came back in and didn't miss a lick of anything. And so, to me, there was never any doubt that that's where he's going to be. And for this reason, Doug, they've got a chance to be a championship team in the NFC. I mean, they were one field goal decision away, you know, from going to the big dance. And so, to me, it's extremely, extremely important. I never thought that he would be anywhere different. He made his grievances known. He put it out there. He got Randall Cobb up there from Houston. That's what he said he wanted. He got some concessions. But the biggest winners were the Green Bay Packer organization and the Green Bay Packer fans and the Green Bay team. You're exactly right, Doug. And I never thought that he would do anything but be the quarterback there this year, and that's where he is.
Coach McGinnis, you'll be heading to practice. What, Titans practicing 9:30 today, right?
Yes, sir. I'm going out there to practice again today, and so I'm going to put my sunscreen on, and there is no shade out there, so I'll be warm.
Do you have to take a nap after doing this show before you go to practice, or are you capable of going on out there?
Well, I might be able to struggle and get out there without a nap.
My friend, we will be on the statewide show. It's aired right here every Saturday, 11 o'clock, starting next week. Thanks so much. Talk to you then.
All right, Coach. See you. Thank you.
All right. That does it for the last Coach to Coach Nashville Style show. We are and will be brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Farm Bureau Health Plans remind you to plan on us. High School Sports Saturday coming up next. Again, NFL in practice. College will be in practice. High schools have been going. Scrimmages will go on, and we got the season starting here pretty darn quick. Tate will be talking about that next. Hey, have a great week. We'll see you next
Saturday, 11 o'clock, for Coach to Coach.